My first question is, how did you become a cartoonist? How did you come to this art that you do?
I started drawing at a very tender age. And I remember that when I was in the early school that we call nursery school, I loved watching cartoons on TV, and I tried to recreate every story that I've seen on TV. So I would show it to my mom. My mom would be like, wow, it's good, it's nice. So she encouraged me a lot. That is in terms of the drawing. Then other aspect is that I imagine things a lot. Sometimes I may just sit down here and I may be looking at you, but I've gone. So and I remember when I was in secondary school, after primary school, I have a sister and his boyfriend bought me a book. That is Animal Farm by George Howell. And I read the book and I was so absorbed with the book to the level that I thought it was real. I didn't know it was a fiction. I started treating animals very, very well. So that in case they will revolt, they will remember me. I tried to, you know, illustrate all the scenes in Animal Farm. You know, I would have drawn every episode in that novel. I love it so much. My sister's, you know, boyfriend later saw the drawing and, you know, he was so impressed. He encouraged me. He was in the university then. He was an undergraduate. So he told me it was a fiction and it was a kind of a satire to satirize, you know, Russian communism. And I was like, wow. So this is not real. So somebody can just imagine things like this and it will be. That means I can use something that is not real to comment on something that is real. So then I can say that was how the ideology of cartooning started in me. It was there, but I did not really develop it until I was in the university, University of Lagos. The second year, we were given an assignment on cartooning to do something about the political situation. Out of all the assignments that were submitted, it brought mine out. I said, wow, this is great. You are going to be a great cartoonist. And he looked at it and now asked me, what was I thinking of when I did something like this? Because I looked at the situation, then I used different symbols to represent certain things in the society. That was what impressed him.
What was the cartoon of? Okay. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember vividly. That was when the president, Olusegun Obasanjo, was in power. That was a problem. You know, a lot of people believe that even though he came in as a democratically elected president, because he was a military president before, so a lot of people believe that he's still dictatorial. They were now trying to impeach him in the House of Assembly. That's what the situation was then. Obasanjo happens to come from Abeokuta, southwestern part of Nigeria. And it is believed that Obasanjo is a prince and Obasanjo has magical powers. So that several times they've even tried to kidnap him, they've even tried to shoot him, didn't work out. I did Obasanjo sitting on a throne with all these magical hamlets, you know, all those things on his body, like a masquerade. I did people trying to pull, it's like the House of Assembly, that is the Senate House, this one, the House of Representatives. They were pushing him, and he stood there and he was reciting incantations that, nobody can remove me from this seat. It's not possible. To me, it was just a simple thing. But to my professor, it was, what were you thinking of when you did this? I said, I just feel that is the way he is. And he told me that what made that thing interesting to him is that in that cartoon, he can read so many things about the president. He can see that he's a prince. He can see that he is somebody that doesn't frown at the use of juju and things like that. He can see that he's a military person. And I said, hey, you can see all that there, sir. He said, yes, can't you see this symbol that you use? Can't you see this? Can't you see that? And that was how I found myself, even with my work.
That's amazing that you could put all of that in one panel, in one picture.
And it will still look beautiful. That is one, you know, lovely thing about cartoon. From that day onward, they started calling me, my cartoonist. You know, I'll be like, let me do another cartoon. That was second year in the university. Then, the third week after that particular assignment, and I did another cartoon on my own, not an assignment. I did it about the situation in the country, and I pasted it on the board. I wrote my name there. Some students gathered, they saw it, they loved it. Wow, this is great. They laughed. Then I started putting it out every week because people were now asking, if I don't put it in a particular group, they'll be like, Jinga, where is your cartoon? We can't see anything to laugh at today, you know? they encouraged me by saying that there was this particular cartoon that I posted that criticized the president seriously. And I remember it was a particular policy, and in my own view, I feel that thing was not, you know, right. And I put it there, you know, in the cartoon. And the dean of my faculty saw the cartoon and ordered people to remove it from the wall and took it to his office and ordered, you know, they should look for me. They called my HOD, head of department, straight, and they should look for me as well. My department, we have, it's like three departments in one. We have the visual arts, we have the creative arts, and we have the music. Mm-hmm. But that particular time, my HOD actually was in theater. Doesn't really know much about visual art. So when they called, my HOD was like, okay, what is it? Is it fine work? I said, no, it's not a fine work. This school is a federal institution, and this boy is criticizing the president. So that means something is wrong. Anything can happen. So then my HOD called for my head of unit, the head of my visual unit. So when my head of unit came around, and she was like, well, the boy is expressing his opinion. Is it not true? What the boy is talking about, is it? Don't we know that this is the truth? The boy has not done anything wrong. That is the way it is. My head of unit, you know, raked and supported me. And okay.
They were, it's like, crazy that you experienced censorship that early in your career, or attempts at censorship.
It's a form of censorship. Very early. So, you know, so the dean said, okay, I shouldn't worry that I can be doing my cartoon, but I should show it to my head of unit. That my head of unit should sign first. And do you know the funniest thing? I still have some cartoons signed by my head of unit, which I kept, you understand, to show people later in life that, you know, I was exposed to censorship very, very early in life. She was the one that actually stood for me that no way, the boy should continue to do his cartoon. Sometimes when I have a cartoon to do, I will do it. I will, you know, give her, she will sign. But later, I may do a particular cartoon. I'll try and change the style. Then I'll put my name there. I'll go and paste it. Understand? If that cartoon is very, very strong. You understand? If it is about a professor, I'll do it. I'll paste it. I'll run. I'll be like, no, it's not Jim Guy. Who could have done this?
So you must have developed a range of styles through that practice then. Yeah. Because you had this house Jimga style, exactly. And then you had these anonymous styles that you were producing. Yeah, exactly.
There is also something I wanted to add. You know, I talked about that book. Then also, you know, right from my secondary school days, my cousins, you know, were in the University of Ibadan. Then sister's friend happens to be the president of student union government. He was an activist. So one way or the other, you know, I became introduced to the concept of activism, you know, sometimes when they talk, when they, you know, discuss and all that, then that, you know, puts me in a kind of situation of, you know, trying to express what is around me, you know, in visual form, not just, you know, drawing. Personally, as I am now, you know, I don't actually like a kind of art that is just merely representational. You know, I believe art should, you know, be for life's sake, not for art's sake. That's me. But I molded, you know, my opinion right from that particular period.
Yeah, did you work for newspapers?
Yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
Like that?
When I finished school, even before I finished, I was working as a freelancer for an advertising agency. I studied graphic design, you know, and illustrations. So, and from that particular period in time, sometimes I get, you know, commission jobs, you know, for illustrations and all that. But I love, you know, to express my own creativity, not just to illustrate. I love to, you know, to comment about political realities. Way back in 2008, you know, once I do something, I'll put it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, my friends will comment. And there was a time, you know, I published my cartoons in the magazine of Center for Contemporary Art, Lagos, CCA, 2 years. You know, I published some of my cartoons there. So then later, I worked as a freelance cartoonist as well for The Moment newspaper. So then later, a senior colleague of mine now, who happens to be a friend, you know, told me that, you know, you can get, you know, newspapers around, you know, to publish your cartoons, you know. Well, then I went to some. And then when I got a job with a particular one, I did it, I think, once or twice. Then the third one, they were trying to change my work for me. And that was how I stopped working permanently. As a person, you know, I don't actually like anything that will affect my expression in terms of, you know, cartooning. I hate it. I don't like it. So once I give my cartoons, you know, to a particular publishing house and they're like, no, can't I change this? No, I lock the door.
You don't want that kind of censorship. You're an artist.
Exactly. I'm not also keen about the money. Cartooning are not actually, you know, really for sale. That is why I don't actually think about working permanently, you know, for a newspaper, because of censorship and because of the fact that I don't care about, I must sell this cartoon. No, I don't care about that.
That enables you to post your work online in the way you have.
Exactly.
Which I find really interesting. The project that you did with Facebook, the one that you have posted on your website. That's such a cool archive of cartoons and then responses to cartoons.
Exactly. I collected all the responses. I used sniping tools. Collected everything and I analyzed them against the cartoons and all that.
Did you find anything particular about the kinds of comments that people were reading? Did you analyze the comments for patterns at all?
I analyzed them for patterns, but in the context of the socio-political issues in Nigeria at that particular time.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, the most of the cartoons that were posted at that particular time were about the presidential election campaign. That was around 2010. So, and I posted some cartoons that were produced between 2008, 2009, and 2010 there. Then people were commenting and all that. So now, that particular time, there was a problem within the political system. In the sense that Obasanjo came into government through People's Democratic Party, that is PDP. Obasanjo used 8 years. Then Obasanjo passed the mantle to Umaru Musa Yar'Adua. There were so many problems because of the fact that Obasanjo's vice, who happens to be Atiku Abubakar, wanted to succeed him. But Obasanjo did not want that. He believed that Atiku Abubakar is corrupt. Maybe something happened between them. I don't know. So then Obasanjo supported another person entirely, who happens to be Umaru Musa Yar'Adua. And a lot of people kicked against it that Umaru Musa Yar'Adua was not actually healthy at that particular time. Obasanjo put Umaru Musa Yar'Adua, and his vice then was Goodluck Jonathan. Goodluck Jonathan comes from the south part of Nigeria. And Obasanjo's arguments, you know, for putting Goodluck Jonathan as Umaru Musa Yar'Adua's friend was that Goodluck Jonathan's people have never represented Nigeria at that level of governance. People should give them the opportunity. So that was how Umaru Musa Yar'Adua and Goodluck Jonathan won the PDP primaries. That particular period in time, you know, PDP was the, you know, dominant party. And eventually, Umaru Musa Yar'Adua won. But 2 years into his administration, he died. And there was a serious problem. In the sense that some people saw that situation as a kind of machination of Obasanjo to make sure that Jonathan is there. When they saw the whole thing, especially the people from the north, they kicked against it that no, Jonathan can never succeed Yar'Adua. Why? Because Obasanjo comes from the southwestern part. So now, the power should go back to the north, not to the south. The remaining 2 years that Yar'Adua was supposed to finish, they should take another person from the north. Because of that, a lot of people from the south-south now saw it as a serious problem. Because why should they not think that being in power should be their birthright? It created a lot of problem. And Jonathan was sworn in amidst a lot of controversy. Jonathan was there for 2 years. After the 2 years, the northern people now waited that, okay, he will be there for 2 years to finish Yar'Adua's program. Then after that, they have to bring somebody from the north. So when the 2 years came, there was a problem because Jonathan wanted to run for being the full president. And the people from the north were like, no, it's not possible. Nigeria was divided along the ethnic line, politically. People from the north said, no, the person should be from the north. Now, there was a kind of sympathy for Jonathan. Why? Let this person rule and all that. So, when I saw the whole thing, I now put my cartoons online to feel people's opinion about what is going on. And when people see my cartoons, they started responding. I was able to analyze with their responses that a lot of people will vote for Jonathan based on sentiment. Not that Jonathan is the best choice. That was my prediction, and it came to pass.
You found that based on these audience responses to your various cartoons.
Yes, to the cartoons. Yeah.
That you collected on Facebook.
Yes, exactly.
That's really cool.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like a really neat finding in terms of how voting works and the role of emotions in the democratic process.
Exactly.
As someone reading your cartoons and when I was uploading them on the website, I was struck by their color. They're so saturated. There is so much color in them. I want to hear about how you make your color choices. Is that an organic process? Are you trying to represent something when you're using a specific color? What are you trying to do when you use your colors?
Well, some people believe that cartoons, you know, should just be in black and white. And I see that as a kind of carryover, you know, from the perception because of the fact that they are used to seeing cartoons in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that states that cartoons shouldn't be in color. And cartoons started to be in black and white because of the technical issues. Because then, most newspapers were in black and white. It was more expensive to print in colors and all that. So that is one thing. Because it used to be in black and white, some people think the legitimacy of a cartoon should be in monochrome, black and white, which I kick against. That cartoon that I did that was, you know, the first cartoon, it was in colored way back then. Even though, you know, I drew and I painted with wash and all that. The first thing is, apart from the message, I also believe that aesthetics is important in any work of art. It is the aesthetics that, you know, will actually lure your audience to be like, okay, let me look at this. You are drawing them nearer to the level of getting the message across. That was the first reason, aesthetics. I believe that cartoon is not only for aesthetics. It is for utility. It's a functional art. I don't think that the aesthetics should actually override the function. I'm thinking of the aesthetics, and at the same time, I'm thinking of the utility. And that is why you see that my cartoons don't really conform totally to the principles of aesthetics in terms of the drawings of the forms. In terms of the forms, sometimes the head may be bigger than the body, sometimes the hands may be longer. It depends on the particular message I want to talk about. That informs the concept of aesthetics that I will use for that particular object. For the choice of colors, I use colors symbolically in my works, even though they are there for aesthetic purposes, but they are also functional. In the sense that if I want to represent something, a chaotic situation, for example, in my cartoon, I use colors that are derived from cultural assumptions. You know, there are some colors that are, this is danger. This is evil. I use colors from that context. There are ways through which we can control our audience. And there's a way through which we limit the understanding of our works to a particular audience. Cartoonists do that a lot. If I'm using a particular color, I don't want that cartoon to be interactive per se. And I may just use green for something. And that green actually be talking about Nigeria. So that means I can communicate some things subliminally with my color without all those things being there. Sometimes I may want the audience to think deeper about a particular situation or to reconnect with a particular situation in order to comment about the contemporary issue. I may look at religious allegories. I may bring a particular passage in the Bible Doing that, I believe that some of my audience that know about that story will connect with it. What about others that don't know about the story? I believe that the aesthetics must be there for them to enjoy. In a nutshell, I use my colors symbolically for aesthetics and also for functionality.
Part of the efficiency of the image comes from the color. You can get so many ideas into this one panel.
Exactly.
One of the ways you do that is with the symbolic color.
And because of the fact that you have limited space to talk about so many things, then you use colors to complement as well, to also talk about your ideas.
So you mentioned this in talking about the color, but can you talk to me about how you make your cartoons? I know you do it digitally, now at least. What kind of software do you use, and do you use a tablet? I know a lot of webcomics artists use tablets now.
Yeah.
I'm curious about your process.
Yeah, what I usually do is first I sketch my cartoons on paper or cardboard.
Using a pen?
Pencil.
Or a pencil, okay.
I sketch using a pencil. Then I trace the pencil with a pen. Then after that, I scan into the system. Then I put that into Photoshop. So then I paint in Photoshop.
Okay. So
after that, I take the image, I take it into CorelDRAW or Adobe Illustrator. Then I add the textural elements there. So after doing that, I can then export maybe to Facebook. I'll have the one that has a higher resolution and the ones that have lower resolutions, you know.
The digital is more a matter of the sharing aspect for
exactly.
you than anything
than,
else.
Exactly.
Do you feel like digital tools give you opportunities that you don't necessarily have with your pen or your pencil, sorry?
Okay, yeah,
and your cardboard?
It does, because I believe that art should be democratized in the sense that a lot of people should see my work. Some people believe that, no, if you do your cartoons, you put it on Facebook, some people will just, you know, print it, they will give you money. I told them I don't care. In as much as this is my idea, and my idea is actually influencing somebody somewhere, I'm fulfilled. That is the love. And I see digital formats as a very significant tool achieving that aim of spreading the gospel, to make sure that my work gets to so many people as much as possible. If it is just drawing on paper with traditional media, it won't be that easy for a lot of people to see my works. Then if a lot of people don't see my work, how do I say that I'm an activist for the society? Then that means I'm not actually playing my role. Because, you see, I believe that artists should be concerned about the situation in the society. And traditionally, that is the artist's job, right from inception, especially the cartoonists. We are like the watchdogs of the society. We feel that something is not going on well. We put it in the cartoon and make sure that as many people as possible get to see it. You may not actually realize there will be somebody somewhere which may have other forms of making sure that what you are thinking of in that particular cartoon is being implemented. You know, the person may be more powerful in terms of making sure that thing is being implemented. But the person may not know until that cartoon gets to him.
So the way that it gets to them is through this
digital form. Internet.
I think about some of the underground cartoonists from the 1970s in America that I talk about in my own work, and they were dependent on the print format because the internet didn't exist yet. And they talk about how their audience was limited by who would go into these stores where the comics were sold.
Exactly.
And what did you do before the digital? How did you get your work out there before the digital?
I guess you had the newspapers,
but then you stopped working for the newspapers.
Through the newspaper first. And also, I cannot really say that they were really getting out when I was in school. That zeal to make sure that my works get out made me do my works. I'll do extra photocopies and I'll paste in the notice boards around in the school. I was not concerned about, they should pay me for it. No, I'm concerned about my commentary, about my perspective, and how other person can take that to influence the society. luckily for me, I'm one of the few that got hold of the digital medium earlier. Once I knew that, okay, I can do this digitally, I just started straight. Even those ones that I was sending to newspaper then, I was doing them digitally, then I was sent to them.
Okay.
Then I put it on Facebook as well. I've always said that the cartoonist should be the copyright owner of any cartoon. I don't want a situation whereby a particular newspaper publish my cartoon, then I can't publish it anywhere else I want. I don't believe in hoarding knowledge, because you don't know another person that can take it to another level more than you even think of. Right from time, I've been using digital medium.
My last question has to do with your exhibition that we're featuring on the website and that is available at Michigan State right now, The Change We Need. I wanted to ask you a little bit about this aspirational element of cartoons, this idea that they can show us both what is happening in society through this idea of framing that you've talked about, and also the idea that cartoons can show us what society could be. And that seems to be what you're trying to do with this exhibition. And I was wondering if you could talk about why cartoons for this kind of aspiration? Aside from the idea of efficiency that you talked about earlier, why not write a book or a pamphlet? Why draw cartoons if you want to change society?
First, I'm an artist, and that is my tool. And I believe that everybody in the society is blessed one way or the other with a particular means of reaching out. Poetry, literary, visual, verbal, and all that. And my own ability or talent is the visual art. That is the first thing. Another thing is that I love the fact that it is visual art, because of the fact that the visual art to me is actually magical. In terms of attention, is highly magical. For example, what is written in a book can actually be summarized within just one plate of visual form. That is one thing. The ambiguity of visual art is another part that I love. We can say that, okay, it is a reflection of what happens in the society. You can have another interpretation. If 100 people should look at this work, they will have 100 interpretations of that work. That is the beauty of the visual art. Unlike something that is written, that this is black. That is written. We know how it's black. But the visual art, the artistic expression, has that level of ambiguity. And that is the magical power that it possesses. That is one of the reasons why I love it, because it can be interpreted in so many ways. And that is also one of its shortcomings, one of its problems that it can create in the society. But that makes it powerful. Don't forget that not everybody is literate. And going back, cartoons have played a significant role in spreading or in passing out information about so many things in the society to everybody. Don't forget that during the Reformation period, when the church was being reformed, Martin Luther engaged the work of cartoonists to satirize the excesses of the Pope or the papacy, to convince the people that there should be a Reformation. That was during the Protestant period. If you see the cartoons that they did then, they equated Pope with the devil in order to bring out, you know, a new world order. And Martin Luther found the use of cartooning so powerful, even more than the written words that he was writing in the pamphlet that he shared. People were able to easily relate with the imagery. Oh, Pope as the devil. Ah, we don't want the devil. Because of the power of imagery, it can easily summarize so many things. And another thing is that because of the fact that our mind has been configured to retain imagery more, maybe because of the fact that I'm an artist, so my mind retains visual imagery faster than what I read. In fact, if I read something, I'll transform it into a mental image in my mind. Then I won't forget about it. That means if you are reading a storybook, as you are reading it, your mind is having a mental image of that scenery that you are reading. That means our mind process images faster than words, then there is power in images. So I love using images.
It's interesting how you relate that to the power of art, because yeah. some of what you're talking about in terms of ambiguity
yeah.
is not just present in visual art. I would yeah. argue that it's also present in verbal art, as
yeah,
someone
sure.
from a literature
sure,
field.
Yeah.
But
sure.
I think that that combined with the power of images that you're talking about, that is a very convincing message in terms of cartoon.